This audio presentation is brought to you by Engage from Nice Job. Engage is a free tool and your gateway to credibility and higher conversion rates through your website. Engage is a widget that shows your website visitors real, recent reviews and bookings, turning a fleeting visitor into a paying customer. Install Engage today for free. Visit get.nicejob.co to get started.
It's another episode of Nice Job Live Chats presented by Engage. I'm your host, Sean Hill. My guest for this episode, Michael Grigory, CEO of Click, Call, Sell. And I'm entitling this conversation, Gut versus Data. You know that feeling as a small business owner. You want to go with your gut. You got that gut feeling, but you know you need to trust the data. Michael and I explore that relationship between those two mindsets, between those two feelings, and really chip away to get down to what's most important. In addition, we challenge some other self-limiting beliefs out there. So if you want to be inspired, but you want to get some real great usable information, this episode will certainly speak to you. So turn it up. Let's dive in. Welcome, everybody. It's another Thursday. I'm having a tremendous chat. As always, these chats are brought to you by Engage. Are you using the real-time social proof yet? If not, what are you waiting for? I don't know what else to say at this point. Engage, available for free from Nice Job. My guest today, Michael Grigory, the CEO of Click, Call, Sell. Michael, how are you today?
It's a beautiful day in San Diego.
So we had some topics we were going to talk about, but in the little pre-interview, we connected, we were kind of talking back and forth, and I'll let everybody know that I'm kind of flipping the script in the sense of I'm throwing it out in a sense, because it was interesting when I was doing some research and hearing you speak. Most recently, I saw you at the Home Service Super Summit. Phenomenal job there as well. But in hearing you speak, there's a lot of things that you talk about that I'm clapping, I'm rallying, I'm like, yes, 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 yes. And then it will always come back to kind of, as you said, self-described like data nerd. Mm-hmm. And I found it interesting because you and I agree on a lot of strategies and a lot of tactics, but I would never consider myself a data nerd. So I respect it. I use it. I do use it, I guess, in decisions. So I guess maybe I'm usually a little hyperbole when I say I'm almost against data. But I definitely know that for myself and a lot of my career and things like that, it's been gut-driven decisions. So I thought that would be kind of a good, not so much a point-counterpoint, but kind of a breakdown of how your gut can get you in trouble, how, you know, if data, or I guess the first question I start off with, so to kind of just dive right into the middle of it, is there parts of data that can be determined by gut? So for example, if numbers are close, does gut always serve you? Or in the end, do numbers always find the way to be the ideal decision?
No, it's a great question. No, your gut's always important. Your gut is, whoever's listening to this, your gut has gotten to where you are today, right? It's the people that use the data that just give them that little extra edge. Because when you use your gut, you're only using your own empirical, your own experience, right? Mm-hmm. But when you can look at data, you're looking at the experience of everything that happens from every single personality type, every city, every keyword that you could not possibly process. And you can have that all dialed into three or four different metrics to look at to complement your gut with what the actual industry is doing.
So along those same lines, do you think it's always important to have a certain percentage of your attention within your numbers? Because a lot of people like to get to a level where they're able to kind of delegate or outsource, you know, as they grow, as they start working on their business as opposed to in their business. If you're someone that kind of doesn't really react to data, are you still able to, are there key metrics they can always keep a hold of to make sure that it's aligning with what you're generally feeling?
Yeah. So, I mean, hard pill to swallow sometimes, but if you're not a person that can look at data and understand it, you're going to be stuck at your gut. So, and it's confusing because there's hundreds and thousands of like reports that you can run and analysis you can do for your business. And all you have to really do is understand like primary, just the key performance metrics for whatever you're looking at. So, if just pulling out of data or your analytics altogether, if you have hire a salesperson and your salesperson is closing at a really low average ticket and a really low closing percentage, there's a problem, right? That's going to have a huge detriment to your to the sales of your business. So I need to understand, I'm measuring, I'm running a report to look at that. It's the same thing with online. You want to know what time of day, what day of week people are looking for your services, so that when you want to run that EDDM campaign or that voicemail bomb or the text blast to your customers, I know that Tuesdays are the best day to do that because that's when everybody's looking for my service. So it's really the same thing. It's just a different media that you're running that report on.
And I often think the gut tends to, where it starts to kind of steer wrong, is that sometimes your gut puts things out there that may not be there. And I know you are big on empowering home service professionals and small business owners at large to stop any like self-limiting belief. You know, don't put any cap on yourself. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about of why that's important and why it's almost this misunderstood thing that a lot of these barriers that business owners are putting up are really just because they're believing things, not actually seeing things.
Yeah. Well, that's huge. I mean, I deal with self-limiting beliefs. I think everybody does to some degree. Mm-hmm. In my business coach last week, we were talking about, you know, the projections of my company, and it's like, just stop your small thinking. So everybody deals with that. And the thing about it is, that's why you want to get into a community, get around other people doing the same thing that you're doing, or people that have already done what you're doing, so that you know that what you're trying to do is possible. You can kind of see the roadmap. If you're building a home service company, it's not like you're the pioneer just doing something completely different than everybody else. You're literally following in the paths of tens of thousands of giants who have been there before. So self-limiting belief is just what's in between your ears, and you have to stop that. When people look at their gut, oftentimes they're looking for confirmation bias, right? They're looking to find confirmation of whatever they want to believe. And it's funny, when I talk to people, they are just asking the same question five different ways, hoping that I will give them the answer that they're looking for, when in reality, the answer is not even close to what they're looking for. They just want to find that new clever way. So looking at your data is going to help you get outside of your own little personal bubble and what you're experiencing every day. And it's going to help you see more in real time what the industry is looking for, not so much what you are thinking the industry is looking for. Or they might match. You never know.
What you just said there reminds me, I don't know if you have a dog, but I have a dog, but when we're at the table and he really wants something, all of a sudden he remembers all of his tricks and does them without any sort of command. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it's the same thing. He's just trying to figure out what he can do to get the result he wants. Yep. But, you know, like, hey, he's not having it. Like, I'm eating chocolate ice cream. He's not getting it. Yep. But it's an interesting sort of analogy to think about that, because you will waste a lot of time not believing data. And that's, for me, that was the one thing when it came to gut versus data is, look, your gut is a belief system, but the data is just telling you what is. Now, it doesn't always mean that, you know, because something immediately doesn't trend the right direction, that doesn't have long-term value. Mm-hmm. Or that, you know, if something is slow growing, that it's going to continue that growth exponentially. You always need to kind of be like checking and double checking.
Or some cycles too.
Yeah, very true. And it's actually a good segue for what I kind of wanted to ask next is that, now, we went through, you know, the past couple of months here, kind of very unprecedented times, and it was really kind of hard to find the direction we're going. And I know, you know, for example, you're a big advocate, and I am as well, of, you know, your messaging isn't the same throughout the entire year. You know, mm-hmm. you have to pivot, and even if you're a business that runs the entire year, there's probably different elements of how people are thinking of your business throughout the year. But this became a weird sort of time during these past couple of months where, like, some businesses really had to consider large pivots. Some could kind of do small pivots. Mm-hmm. I'd be interested to get your take on if there was any unique challenges over these past couple months, or is that just kind of a gut sort of rationale of everything seemed different, but at its core, it kind of was just the same.
Yeah. So definitely unique challenges. Every industry went about this differently. So, you know, being really closely connected to franchises for a long time, I just saw different industries like maid services got crushed. Anybody that went inside of a home from March until June was not doing very well. So major pivots needed to happen through sanitization or whatever it could be. But exterior services, landscaping and pest control especially, blew up because everybody's spending time with their family outside now. So you need mosquito control and all these things. So it's really interesting to see where some industries were just absolutely booming, others were not. Again, self-limiting belief. This is the time in which I don't think a lot of people saw this coming early in the pandemic, but people were spending more time outside. They're spending more time on home improvement. And what happened initially was there was a huge shock, and a lot of companies just went down and really reserved cash, laid everybody off, and the capacity of the industry. So we talk about capacity a lot of, you know, capacity is how much work can you do in a given period of time? How many techs can go out there and do the work? And so you've got capacity as a business, but the industry also has capacity. So if you're a landscaper and you can mow 10 lawns per week, and there's 100 landscapers who can all mow 10 lawns per week, that's, you know, that's the capacity of the whole industry. And so the capacity and the overall amount of work that can be done for an entire market really, really shrank down, but the demand didn't really shrink down that much because we thought it was going to be worse than it was. And so what you found is the people that just kept full steam ahead. And you heard this, if you watch all the forums online, some people were just like, I can't keep up. It's unbelievable. And others were, you know, scraping to get by. The difference was they had their foot on the throttle. So now as things start to open back up, it's going to be the opposite effect, is how quickly can you hire and get your own capacity up, because demand is going to increase, but the capacity of the industry itself is probably going to be lagging behind. So this is a massive time for people to really work on their hiring funnels, their hiring systems, to make sure that they can onboard people and get the work done, because you can capture some serious market share right now if you're able to onboard quickly.
Yeah, a couple of weeks back, I was talking with our friend Brandon Vaughn about recruiting and going out. And we talked about this time being as a couple of companies that kind of, you know, maybe made the rash decision to kind of let some of their staff go and just try to, you know, quickly go into a survival mode instead of trying to kind of plow through it, is a lot of those individuals are kind of now entering the workforce again. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of great talent out there. But if you're going to bring it on, it's about, you know, having the system in place to onboard them and have them kind of to ready to go. But it also can kind of show you is the things that you've learned over those past couple stretches is now you can use going forward. A great story I heard was someone, a company out of Pennsylvania that does, decks and kind of outdoor. And they saw a huge boom because people realize there's no comfortable spot in their backyard. Like all they could do is kind of walk around, do this and that. And they found it. And the reason I kind of bring that up is it's almost a new audience, or almost a new target market came out, is people that never really thought of upgrading their backyard to be a space to kind of hang out. You know, they were worried about their domain and it was just the lawn and the kind of the back. When you're trying to decide in almost a growth sort of thing, kind of where to go next, a gut can also put you in a bad position when it comes to deciding targeting new or targeting referral and kind of how much can my returning business get on with that. Would you say that's the largest place that people tend to make mistakes with their gut of almost identifying the wrong audience to go after?
That or just not having the right message with the right audience. So those two things don't go together as well. You want to make sure you've got a message that pairs with the audience you're going after. If you're going after, you know, older income and you're using words or vernacular, things that just don't really connect with them, you know, you're going a total digital strategy in the villages in Florida, that ain't going to work. So you want to make sure you've got your message kind of matches what's going on. But right now, people really care about being safe. And so what we're seeing a lot of success in a lot of industries is offering just a little something extra in your messaging and in your message, that if sanitization services, you know, if you get a service done with us, we will, you know, complimentary sanitize your exterior playground area. Or we'll sanitize all the doorknobs and the exterior surfaces of your home to make sure that you and your family are staying safe. So just a little bit something extra now to make people feel like, one, they're getting a good deal, extra value, and also that you're keeping them and their family safe.
And what is your response when I've heard this, I saw this in a marketing chat recently where someone was talking about like, yeah, I know the customers that I want, but they don't seem to be there. And the first reaction when I hear that is like, well, then you're probably not you're probably not getting to them. You're not getting the message through to them. But is there something to be said of perhaps having to reevaluate of where the largest audience is? Like, is that self-identifying metric of like, yeah, I know you want this type of customer, but this is the more abundant market. Mm-hmm. How do you balance that? Because long-term, you don't really want to be working with a customer that doesn't have that growth. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm getting away from the question a bit here, but like that internal balance, I'd love to know how you kind of analyze it of, okay, there's a large market there, but I don't think it's a customer that I want to identify with. But at the same time, how do I know if my messaging isn't working or if I'm just picking a limited market?
Yeah. So two things there. You want to think about, how do you acquire customers? really two, if you can put them in two buckets. One is they're looking for your services. They are literally going online. They're asking their friends. They're seeking you out. And so the first way is to make sure you are everywhere people are looking for your services. Along with that, if you want to go one notch lower, is going to be how much opportunity is there. A lot of time people are looking for this, I want the dual income, high, you know, really, really wealthy families in my area, but there's 2,000 of those people. So there's not a lot of demand and actively people searching for that. The other way is to actively go out and find those people. That's going to be your direct mail, your offers, your memberships, or just something to be able to get into inside that community and have some sort of compelling offer. And so you want to be able to have a message that resonates to them. But first is just seeing how many people are searching for that thing, whatever you do, how many of that demographic are actually looking for that service. Facebook has really good analytics. So does Google Analytics. You can kind of see, you can even install like, you know, Adobe or other things to kind of get even deeper if you want, but just to see how much opportunity is there for something. You know, I always see people in smaller niche industries like residential window tinting in Maine, in a tiny town in Maine, and they're paying $2,000 a month for SEO, and there's like 19 people a month searching for the service. You're like wasting your money. So you need to find out how much opportunity there is. And then once you learn about the opportunity, now you can go after that. Your test is, when somebody is looking for me, what message can I give them that works? And once I have a proven audience, now I can give a proven offer to an unproven audience.
So if you have, say, a really competitive market, what's the advice either to the new guy or just the someone that feels they're overbanded? It goes back to that self-limiting belief of thinking like, well, I mean, like, there's already 10 other painters in this town.
I feel like you're setting me up for a question to say you need to sign up with Nice Job. Reviews, there's two of the biggest indicators, hands down, without a clue, without even like any question, is social proof. How many reviews do you have? It's the number. I mean, think about when you shop on Amazon, right? If you have two products side by side, they're the same price, and this shipping company has 1,000 reviews with 5 stars and this one has 1 review, who are you going to buy it from, right? You're always going to, you know, trust the social proof aspect. And two is awards and accolades. Are you certified? Have you won any awards, BBB, best of your city or anything like that? Because that really gives you credibility. So that the whole point of a website is to establish enough trust and enough credibility to make the phone ring. That's the job of your website, is can you convince a consumer who's looking at your brand to say, this company seems like it can solve my problem. And Nice Job, Engage, your reviews platform, I'm just the best in the business. And it's kind of weird to say that because I've worked with a lot of companies, but yeah, you are.
Well, don't worry. You're only going to see that quote everywhere now. but that wasn't my intent. I did want to touch a little bit on kind of social proof in two forms of how that lets you know how you're doing. But then also, you know, in scouring some competitors' reviews, things like that, sometimes you can pick up some tips and tactics to help craft your messaging to start to separate yourself. I don't think enough businesses start to do that a bit, is it because they have kind of the mentality. And again, it might go back to that gut feeling of, well, this is what my business should be. I should be about A, B, and C. But when you look in customers that might be just genuinely happy, I would say every 3-star review is someone that doesn't have full loyalty yet. Mm-hmm. That is someone that you can go in and say, you know what, like exact same price, exact same service, but you now have the opportunity through customer experience or whatever your unique, you know, USP is to gather that sale. So that's generally where I was going. We do always, appreciate, the kind love there, but
you need reviews. I talk to people with 1-2 reviews, and there's nothing that anybody can do that is going to have more of an impact than social proof, because at some point in time, they're going to look and see what other people are saying about you, because it's so top of mind now for every industry. And if you don't have that social proof, they're going to move to a person that does have it. I see conversion rates significantly higher when people have that, 100 or plus review mark. It's not even close.
And it's also an interesting time now, and really over the past couple of years, it's become such a broadcaster society. You know, everyone has the ability to kind of take their phone out and make some content and post it several different areas. Mm-hmm. The digital landscape when it comes to getting things out is so vast. Mm-hmm. I'm a big person when it comes to, being environmentally conscious, being sustainable and things of that nature. But there really is no replacement to physical sort of ads. And I know COVID kind of threw off, the ability to kind of do that. But are you expecting, predicting that the physical ad is like here to stay forever? Or do you think eventually there's a digital takeover that that we're gonna gone will be the physical handout ads, the five rounds, and things like that.
I think there's always going to be a segment of people that enjoy reading and enjoy holding something. And also the psychology too, like marriage mailers. So Valpak, Money Mailer, City Publications, a whole bunch of them where you have a whole bunch of cards and a little cellophane wrapper. There's something psychological too. When you open up a pack of deals, they're like triggered. They're looking for deals. The number one sellers in those things are always the food, the pizza, the Chinese restaurants. Those are all the ones that are just ready to go because they have some sort of deal and I'm ready to go take my family out for pizza or something that night. So I think there'll always be a place for that. I think that it's important. One thing people often overlook is the direct mail aspect to your customers. Like your customers enjoy getting messages from you in the mail. It doesn't always have to be this aggressive, like, hey, buy our stuff, but a thank you for services or a holiday card or something just saying, thank you so much for your business. It really keeps top of mind because the most valuable asset you have in your company is hands down, not even close, your database. And if you can keep your database engaged, you'll win every time. And direct mail is one of the ways to keep your database engaged. So yeah, I think there will always be an opportunity to keep your consumers or even lookalike, you know, audience involved with direct mail of some sort. It may pivot, it may change, but absolutely.
You mentioned your database. Why is that the most important thing? It's just a simple question.
I say this all the time, and it sounds nerdy, but I love to say it. So I would say the success of your business as a home service company is the size and the vitality of your database. How many customers do you have? How often do they use you? And how much money are they giving you? Your job is to acquire a customer, ascend them up a value ladder to offer multiple complementary services to keep them engaged with you. The biggest threat to home service companies is they have a very small niche list of services. And they say, because I can't make any money on anything else. But those other services that you can't make any money on are usually higher frequency services that are higher in demand that you can ascend up that ladder. The best example of this is a hardscape company. A lot of hardscapes companies, hardscapes, depending on where you're at or what you do, between $20,000 and $60,000 or $80,000 service. And they're only looking for those customers. Then there's really savvy landscapers who are out mowing lawns and hedging and spraying. They have a massive database, 4,000 or 6,000 people that they're mowing lawns for. And then they consistently market, hey, you should get your hardscapes done, get your hardscapes done. And they can, if they can get 1% of that 4,000 customer database to get the hardscape done each year, they're off the chain with this $20,000 to $60,000 average ticket service. So you want to offer a complimentary mix of services to have your customers give you more money more often.
You know, for flipping the script and kind of just picking a random starting point for our conversation, the amount of quality information that's come out is phenomenal. You know, I'm a big thing of being efficient and being quick with it. And I was taking some small notes on the side and I already have a full page ready to go. And I knew some of the things we were going to talk about. So thank you so much for joining in and dropping a lot of that. If people want to learn more about you or more about Click Call Sell, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Yeah, just go to Click Call Sell. So you think about the customer experience. First they click and they call, and then you, the business owner, has to sell. Just fill out a form. We'll schedule a call. I love talking to people. I think that's what most of my day is filled up with, just my calendar's calls all day. So I'm happy to talk to anybody about reports, marketing, anything that they can do to help themselves grow. That's kind of my why, is serving home service businesses.
Awesome. We'll be sure to be linking to that as well in the description of our chat, as well as on the live feed below there. So Michael, thank you so much for joining us, and have a great rest of the day.
Thanks, Sean. Take care.